Interesting. We're on the, I don't know how many messages this is. This must be, what number? Six? Yeah. Okay, number six. In the series on compassion, we looked at poverty for a couple of weeks. We looked at addiction for a couple of weeks. We had an opening message just to sort of lay the groundwork for it. It's not a series that you can jump in any time. So if you're new with us, you won't be left behind. But we've been trying to look at issues in our world that often, though the church is called to be involved in these things, we've neglected for one reason or another. Sometimes it's because we have associated certain issues with one political party or another, and as a result, the church has said, I don't want to be involved with that, and so we've withdrawn and pulled away. Sometimes we just get busy doing stuff that we think we should be doing, and we miss out on some of the things that God's commissioned us to do. And so we've been trying to revisit some of those things and look at them and say, okay, how as a church, how as the body of Christ are we supposed to find ourselves involved in these kinds of issues to make a difference in our world? Because the body of Christ is to have a much greater presence than coming and meeting inside of four walls. And so often that's what we end up doing is we just meet in a building, we sing some songs, we hear a talk, and we go home, and we don't impact the world. And so it's been our hope that as we go through this series that it's going to put some feet to the gospel in a new way. And I got to tell you, if you haven't yet, for example, if you haven't yet signed up to do some sort of volunteer work in the community, there's a lot of opportunities for that. I showed a little piece of a video clip a few weeks ago on a reading program here in our valley where you can volunteer to go into one of the schools and read to some of the kids that are struggling with reading skills. And I got a phone call from the director of that program. I wasn't going to cry today because this isn't the kind of message to cry about, but I was so moved by it because she was so moved that a church would actually suggest to their congregation that they could do something in volunteering in the community. So don't let me down. You guys, we've got to have folks that actually begin to do this stuff, and we'll just keep after it. Even once this series is finished, we will continue to encourage because we really want to put hands and feet to the gospel in a fresh way in our world. We want to do social justice in a way that makes a difference. So we're on this sixth message entitled Broken is the title of this message. And pray with me before we start, would you? Father, we pray, Lord, that you would teach us what it means to be kingdom people and to live the gospel in a way that is more than just loving you with words. For Father, your word is so clearly connected to action as well as words. And I pray, Father, that you would help us. Give us grace to incorporate it into our lives, the truth of the gospel in a way that begins to impact the world that we live in. Lord, thank you for awakening us in a fresh way to the need to do more than just tell, but to show by our actions the reality of the gospel. Lord, give us favor and fruit in the days ahead, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. So we're talking about today, we're actually talking about a broken world is what we're talking about. And I want to start, we're primarily, because we'll look at this for 2 weeks, I want to primarily give you a little bit of foundation that's going to help us to, again, to grab hold of a concept that I think will maybe thrust us forward in some things. So I have to start with a scripture that's really foundational to why do we have a broken world? Why do we live in a broken world? Why is the world broken? And if you go back all the way to Genesis, really, it'd be great this week if you read Genesis chapters 1 through 3, the first three books or chapters of the first book of the Bible. In Genesis 3, verses 17 to 19, I think it's on your note sheet, it'll be on the screen as well, it says, God says, then to Adam he said, this is following Adam and Eve in that whole frustrating situation where they were disobedient to God, then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. And you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you were dust, and to dust you shall return. There's this picture of what happened as a result of human sin. And human sin didn't just affect humans. It affected our planet. The dirt of the ground is cursed in a form because of human sin. See, you have to get that foundational issue down inside of you, because there is a concept that floats around that humans are basically good. Well, I'm sorry, but that is not what the scripture says. We're born in sin. Now there is a way to become pure and holy and righteous and clean, but it comes through the blood of Jesus. See? And there is a way to begin to restore the curse in the world. And it comes through the blood of Jesus and then us as his people. But there is sin that's come in the world and it's affected everything. The plants, the trees, the animals, as well as the people. And that's what we're going to look at today. Really, specifically, we're going to talk about the environment and how our world's gotten broken by just our use and abuse of things in our world, and how easily it would be for us to get involved in making some changes in our lives personally that could to help with some environmental issues. So I wanted to show you, I came across this little video clip that I thought was, it just takes one little tiny piece of a huge picture, but I thought it was one that kind of gave you a pretty clear kind of a fun view of something that we could do very easily that might help to change things a little bit. So here you go. The volume to that, guys. That's all there is to it. It's really simple. Did you know there's actually a campaign out there to return to tap water? There is. I mean, that's a novel thing. You ever think about drinking tap water? Hello. But there is, because what we found is that we've increased in plastics so much, and most of America doesn't recycle. If you would go to a place like Japan, I spent a lot of time in Japan. And the recycling process is the most unbelievable thing you've ever seen. They are so precise with it. In fact, what it's done that would help us in America is it's actually made them become very shopping conscious. Because you can't throw things away without a really big hassle. You can't just go to the dump and throw like a recliner, a lounge chair into the dump. What you have to do, it costs you money to do it, what you have to do is you take that recliner and you tear it completely apart. So the foam and the leather, whatever it is, goes in one pile, all the screws go in another, wood goes in another. Every piece of that thing has to be torn apart to be able to throw it away. And so you know what they do? They look a long time before they buy something, because in the back of their head they're thinking, man, this is going to be a hassle to get rid of. And it helps, you know. I mean, it actually helps to sort of prevent overspending, even, because you're really thinking about what you do before you purchase. So, let me give you three simple things that are very foundational to this whole issue as we look at what we've done to this earth, the planet we live on. Three things, they're on your note sheet. The first is if this earth was created by and belongs to God. Now you have to get that before you get anything else. It was created by God and it belongs to God. It's His planet, and it isn't, again, you have to think in the bigger picture. I'm not just talking about the dirt. It includes animals and trees and everything on the planet beyond just humans. Let me give you a couple of scriptures that will bear that out. In John chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, through Him, through Jesus, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. So we understand that He created this world that we live in. Let me give you a couple that aren't on your note sheet. I think the references are, and they won't be on the screen. Part of Colossians 1, 16, 17 says, all things were created by Him and for Him. They were created by Him and for Him. So earth was created by and belongs to God. Another one is Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12. Won't be on the screen. I think the reference is on your note sheet. It says, for every beast of the forest is mine. God is speaking. He says, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. Now listen to this. For all the world is mine and all it contains. We don't have to wonder about ownership here or who created it. We know, according to Scripture, that everything on this planet God created. He made it and He owns it. That's all. The world is mine and all it contains. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything on the planet is God's, and that was His. The beginning is where it all started. So, that being clear, the earth was created by and belongs to God. Move to the second one. Earth was created to reveal the glory of God. Did you know that? That the part of the reason that this planet is here, this universe is here, is that it's supposed to reveal God's glory. That was His plan. And when we begin to mar up what God intended, we sort of take away from that picture of His glory. But it's very clear that His wisdom, His power, His glory, His honor is to be seen through this earth and everything that it contains. See, that was His plan. And that's why when, you know, you talk to some people and they say, I get closest to God when I'm out in the forest, or when I'm, you know, hunting, or when I'm fishing, or I'm just hiking, or whatever, because the planet, the whole of what we live in was intended to release God's glory, to reveal His glory. And so it's not a surprise that when you're out in the woods, you feel the presence of God. I mean, it's awesome, isn't it? When you see you're driving along and you come toward the Rocky Mountains and you have this incredible picture of just the majestic picture of what God's done. See, it reveals the glory of God. There's nothing wrong with that. Let me give you a couple scriptures. Psalm 19 and verse 1. It says, the heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. There's something about creation that just so expresses who God is. Romans 1 and verse 20 is taking this picture of how what God's created reveals Him. It says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, in other words, His glory, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. That there is something about creation. I don't know how many in this room have children, but often you can see the hand of the parent in their kids, in how they look, in how they act. You can. I've been in classrooms. I taught school for a few years, and I worked for Head Start for a couple of years. And I could be with kids, and when parents would come for a meeting, I could often tell you which kids belong to which parents. You could see the glory of the parents and their kids, in a sense. You see what God created, or the lack thereof. It's the same way with what God has made. His glory ought to be seen in us, and it ought to be seen in all that he's created, in his universe. See, that's the way he intended it. That's how he put it together. And as a result, he says that the humans are without excuse. That you can, God is everywhere. You can sense him and see him and know he is. So the earth was created and belongs to God. Earth was created to reveal the glory of God. And then thirdly, simply, earth is to be cared for and protected by Christ followers. These are real simple, real foundational, but incredibly important if we're going to begin to live out a kind of lifestyle given us. See, because Christians have a responsibility. As you study the scripture, you see we're responsible to take care of this planet that God placed us on. In fact, we should be the ones that lead in the use and the management of God's creation. We should be. We should, rather than being the tail, we ought to be leading this thing. And yet, for the most part, that's not happening. Now, there's a fresh thing going on in the kingdom that if you go online and you typed in two words, creation care, you would see a lot of information that would come up about the church once again reinvesting in this issue of caring for our planet. Because, you see, if you study the scriptures, you'll find that we are commissioned, mandated, commanded, whatever words you want to use, by God, as believers, we are commissioned to be on the front lines in terms of the use and care of our planet, how we use our planet and how we care for it. That was his intended design. I'm not going to read for you Genesis 1, 26 to 30, but when you have time, if you would read that, it's on your note sheet, the reference. But that's that picture of the call to have dominion over our planet. Now, you know what's happened over the years? Is we have misused that picture of dominion, of what God intended for us by that. And in many ways, it's been an excuse for Christians to sort of not care for what God's called us to care for. Because we're to have dominion. And we take this negative picture of what that means. And there's more to it than that. But let me read one scripture to you from Genesis 2 and verse 15. This is before the fall. This is before that passage that we read where sin entered in. This is before that. But still, God gave a mandate to his people. He said, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and care for it. That was his plan, to take care of it. That was always God's plan, is that man, in dominion, we are to use what's been given to us on this planet, but we're to do it in a way that cares for it at the same time, that replenishes, that watches out for. Because, you know, the issue of compassion is that this planet, you know who gets affected the most by the misuse of this planet? Poorer people. Folks in third world places. They actually are impacted more by it than we would be here in America. And there's a compassion issue of, are we going to listen to that? We're going to take that seriously? Are we going to look at water issues in our world, different sorts of things that we can actually do to help to improve life for everyone? So, if we're going to honor God, according to the scripture, if we're going to honor God, we have to learn to properly nurture, manage, preserve, protect, and use everything, the resources that God's placed on this planet. See, what ends up happening sometimes is, again, we back off as Christians because the folks in the world say, well, you can't do this, or you can't do that, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. Well, my suggestion is that we just have to learn how to be wise in what we use. We have to begin to look at issues and determine, how do we do things in a right way? It includes animals, it includes plants, it includes all of that. And again, here's what happens. Some organization comes along and they say, to protect this animal, it would be better to abort this baby. And so what do? We just pull completely away from the issue, right? Rather than saying, no, that's not the answer to solve this. Let's come up with the right solution to solve it. But there are solutions out there, see? But because there's been a liberal agenda in many environmental issues, much of the church has just pulled away from dealing with them at all. We've withdrawn. And that's the wrong answer. We we move away from God's intended plan for us to be the leaders in this whole process, and then things just go crazy. And that's kind of where we are right now. So God gave us dominion. No question. When you read the scripture, He gave us dominion, but He gave it to us on the condition that we act as wise stewards in how we manage that we do it with prudence and with care in everything that we have. We don't abuse this world that we live in. So, let me say it once more. Rather than helping provide a solution, which is what the church ought to be doing, rather than doing that, what's the church has done, so much of the church, we've gotten frozen in fear because of the perceptions of certain people as a result of different political parties and different ideologies, and we've withdrawn and pulled away and just frozen up. And we've not followed through the commission or the mandate that God's given us, see? And it's time to jump back in and become responsible in the efforts that God's placed honestly. And you know what happens? Here's what will happen. You get involved in some of these sorts of issues, and you will find yourself standing side by side with somebody you absolutely do not agree with. You know what? As Christians, we ought to be mature enough to deal with that. Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we be able to do that? And continue to love, even if we disagree? Because you know what? There are people in this room that would disagree on environmental issues. And that's absolutely okay. But we begin to... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get to that. Two warnings. Here's the two warnings. One is... Here's one of the reasons we've withdrawn. It's a word called pantheism. I don't know if you know that term. But pantheism states that God is equal to anything and everything. They blur a picture so that there's no distinction between God and His creation. So when somebody says, when I go into the woods, I experience God. Now, a Christian might say that, and it's because they really do feel God's presence. And someone else might say it because they think that trees are God and rocks are God and every other thing are God, see? And so, what we've done is we've pulled away from environmental issues because we've seen a camp that says God, not that God created the universe, God is the universe. Did you know that God existed before the universe existed? And He created the universe. He is not the universe. He is not the earth. He is not trees. He is not plants. That is not God. Is His glory revealed through that stuff? Absolutely. But there's a big difference. And so you have to be careful that you don't begin to slide over into wrong thinking. But should that cause us to fear getting involved in those issues? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Let's just be wise and make sure that we're looking at the Scripture so that we maintain a proper understanding of who God is and who His creation is, what His creation is. But don't let that create a fear that says, okay, I can't get involved then because there's this whole idea out there. See, pantheism begins to make everything God rather than recognizing who the God of everything is. Big difference. Big difference. So you just have to be careful with that. The other warning is this, don't judge. Don't judge. Christians who take stewardship of our planet seriously, the whole issue of environment, those who take it seriously, you know what, they may disagree about the strategies, they might disagree about how many trees should be harvested on the planet. They might disagree about what kind of emission standards to have for vehicles. They might disagree about all sorts of issues. There are probably people in this room that would lend themselves toward the idea of global warming and people in this room that would say that's a ridiculous concept. But you know what you can't do? You can't say to one another, you can't say, well, obviously you are sub-Christian. Because you're taking a stance that, I mean, you just bought a lie. We can have different ideas on strategies, but this is what we have to do. We have to take it serious enough that we begin to research, invest time, discuss with one another. And if we're afraid to do that, man, we are lacking in godly character. God designed us to be able to have some differences of opinion, some contradictions with one another, and still love each other. But unfortunately, again, we've pulled just back completely away from some of those things because we feared that. See, and what I'm not here to do in this series is to give you a political stance or specific strategies of how to do so. Although some minor things, we'll talk about some of the issues, just like the little video clip, things that we can do in our homes, things that we can do in our church, that just a little rearrangement of lifestyle and some of that sort of thing. Other issues, though, you're going to have to figure them out. But you know what? We need to. We need to, because we're mandated in the kingdom to take care of our planet. And so we ought to be people that are looking at these issues and taking them seriously. And then if you come up with a plan and a strategy that's different than mine, you know what? We need to honor each other in that, rather than tearing one another down and coming up with this conclusion. Carl F. Henry, he said this: Scripture does not set forth specific lines of ecological action, which may vary with time and place, but it does adduce fixed principles that indicate that God was not content to create a chaotic wasteland, but rather a habitable universe, and that he expects his designated stewards to maintain it that way. So there's a big boundary here, see? It's not like you can go to the Scripture and come up with clear strategies on some of these things. What we do need to do is begin to listen to some of the things being said and research, because some of the things being said are ridiculous. Others are clear. Everyone would agree. And so you're just going to have to have some reason to begin to jump in. So let me conclude this way. Here's the problem with a message like this. It could get way away from Jesus, but ultimately it all comes back to Jesus. Did you know that? It all comes back to Jesus. If it doesn't point us back to Jesus, we have a problem. It has to come back to Him. So here's my thought. I believe that our life in God creates a kind of balance that will help us to have a lifestyle that honors Him in everything that we do. It will honor Him in the way we deal with our creation, as well as the way we deal with our words, as well as the way we deal with our thoughts. That is all a part of incorporating God into every aspect of our lives, you see. So, I was thinking of this little passage of Scripture, just a few pieces of it from Luke chapter 12, where Jesus is speaking. And He says this, and He said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does life consist of his possessions. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." See, I don't expect that you and I can to really deal with some of the complicated issues like environment or poverty or addiction without a right relationship with Jesus Christ. I think that we'll find ourselves getting frustrated with one another if we don't have that right relationship with Jesus. Will we still disagree? Probably. Probably. But we can do it in incredible love and with character because we have this right ongoing relationship with Jesus. So that's my question for you this morning. Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where are you? Where is your heart today? Are you doing well with Jesus? Are you in a place where you're growing with Him and you feel like there's life flowing from you because of your relationship with Him? Or are you struggling? Are you really being beat up by life and as a result you couldn't care less about the environment because you're dealing with your own stuff and it's beating you up? It's that right relationship with Jesus that's going to help us to be able to walk out the kind of things that put hands and feet to the gospel. So bow your heads with me and let's just take a moment before the Lord and ask Him for some insight into our own lives right now. Where are we at in terms of relationship with God? Father, You know our hearts better than we do. And You know the circumstances going on in our lives that we find ourselves battling with. Father, you know when we've been able to lay those down before you and let you carry them, and when we have just found ourselves being so weighed down and burdened with stuff that we can't think about anything else. And Lord, if we're going to actually put hands and feet to the gospel, if we're going to get involved in our community and our world in a way that makes a difference and an impact, God, we recognize that right relationship with you, where we become life-giving people, is so incredibly essential to being able to live this out. So, Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be very transparent with you for a moment here. And allow you to look into the depths of our hearts. Lord, if there's wounding, if there's hurt, if there's pain that is distracting us from walking with you, God, if we feel like the heavens have turned bronze and our prayers just are empty, Lord, if your word has become just another book that doesn't have life to it, God, there are definite signs that we can, symptoms that we can see that would indicate that our heart is not where it ought to be. Lord, would you right now begin to reveal to each one of us, Lord, if we've gotten off track a bit, God, it was your intention that your church, your body, would be the most powerful force on earth. Because we, as your people, were intended to be your temple with your Holy Spirit released through us. And it seems as if, Father, there's been a lack of power. And I pray today for a new tap into your power. That we might live out the gospel with great impact. Listen, heads bowed for just one more moment. I really want to nail this down, guys, because it's just not going to be effective to do this stuff without being in right relationship with Jesus. If our hearts are not beating with His. So would you be transparent enough with me to just acknowledge if you feel like your heart's sort of been off base and you haven't had that life-giving relationship going on lately, would you just quickly just lift your hand up so I could see that? I want to just pray for folks then. Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, okay, lots of folks. Yeah. So let's pray. Would you all agree with me, whether you raised your hand or not, and lots of folks did, for new grace to connect with God in a way that produces such life that wherever we go, we produce life. Lord, we ask for that. Father, would you increase in us? Lord, we want to be, by your Spirit's empowerment, the most powerful force on earth. Releasing your presence wherever we are, releasing your glory, your honor, able to deal with complicated issues like environment and addiction and poverty and other issues because we're full of life
And it just pours out of us in a way that brings hope to a world that is often so hopeless. We need a renewed source, Lord, of your Holy Spirit's power released in and through us. God, for those that have been courageous enough to indicate that need, Lord, I pray today, God, would you meet them right where they're sitting? And pour in, Lord, a measure of your presence that is greater than anything they've experienced before. Lord, let your Holy Spirit move in our lives today. And Father, as we begin to live out the gospel, the kingdom here on the planet, Lord, I pray in our valley and around the world that we would have greater impact than we've ever seen before. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, next week we'll give you some opportunities to actually begin to have hands and feet in this area. We'll try to keep some of the other things in front of you as well as we do that. If you need prayer for anything, there'll be folks down here who would love to pray with you. If you're new, please grab one of the coupons and mugs back in the back. Have an incredible week. Tap into the power of God. Live with great life in you. And see what God will do. God bless you.